Welcome to Becoming Better with Na'ama, the podcast that guides you on the journey to self-improvement and stronger relationships through effective language. I'm Na'ama, your host and a certified life coach specializing in partnerships and dating. Join me as we explore how to know yourself better, improve your communication skills, and navigate relationships by using better language. Remember to subscribe, share, and reach out with episode topic ideas at info@naamasegal.com. That's info@naamasegal.com. I'm starting a new podcast series on becoming better with Na'ama. I am so excited. What's it about, you ask? Well, as you know, words have incredible power, shaping our realities profoundly. I am living proof of that. In this series, we'll delve into the transformative influence of language, uncovering its impact on our subconscious and reality. Come along with me as we discover the magic of positive self-talk and the phrases that ignite real change. And now I want to thank BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Hey y'all, it's Na'ama, and as Ted Lasso likes to say, I am a work in progress. Seriously, I know that I'm becoming better every day, but sometimes I'm also a mess. One of the most powerful tools that I've used over the last 20 years to become a little bit less of a mess is therapy. And if you need a therapist, which I think everyone does, you should go with BetterHelp. BetterHelp is the world's largest therapy service, and it's 100% online. With BetterHelp, you can tap into a network of over 30,000 licensed and experienced therapists who can help you with a wide range of issues. To get started, you just answer a few questions about your needs and preferences in therapy. That way, BetterHelp can match you with the right therapist from their network. Then, you can talk to your therapist however you feel comfortable, whether it's via text, chat, phone, or video call. You can message your therapist at any time and schedule live sessions when it's convenient for you. If your therapist isn't the right fit for any reason, which does happen, you can switch to a new therapist at no additional charge. How awesome is that? I believe that everyone can benefit from therapy, and you can benefit from 10% off your first month by going to betterhelp.com/becomingbetter. That's betterhelp.com/becomingbetter. Get yourself a therapist. They're just a fresh set of eyes to help you tackle any problem you want to overcome. I believe in you. And this is just another way that you can become better. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Everyone, I want to thank you so much for being here. I am Na'ama Segal-Karas, founder and creator of Betterment Life Coaching, a coaching modality that centers on changing your language and changing your life, especially your relationships. We are doing a brand new series on my podcast, Becoming Better with Na'ama, and I have an amazing badass guest that you absolutely need to see before we get into this amazing guest and he starts telling you his story. I want to remind you to like, subscribe, and share, hit the bell, all that jazz. Check us out on TikTok. That's kind of where we play. That's where we met. All our social media is going to be in the captions. Feel free to check it out. And when we give advice, when we give suggestions and words of power in this particular episode, write them down. If you don't have a pen and pencil, pen and paper ready, go get one. If you don't have paper, get a Post-it. If you don't have a Post-it, use a napkin. If you don't have a napkin, use your cell phone. But write it down. Yes, see, write it down. And if you don't have a journal, check out the link in my bio. I created some. You can pick your color. They're called vision journals. It'll give you a chance to write down whatever the hell comes to mind. So, with no further ado, I want to invite my amazing guest to come on in. His name is Daniel Mondragon. He is an influence and a powerful one on TikTok. He has people listening to him through the power of technology. He gives amazing advice, help, and encouragement. In Hebrew, we call it chizuk, strengthening or empowerment. There's an actual phrase for it. There are people that will text like a group chat and say, I need chizuk. I'm nervous. I'm anxious. I need support. I need encouragement. And he does that. And he does it beautifully. He's actually one of the first people who ever responded to anything I created on TikTok. And I will always have a special place in my heart for him. He is known as Pebble in a Pond Podcast. However, I'm just going to call him Daniel. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Spells on Ourselves.
Thank you very much. I am very, very happy to be here.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So I'm going to dive right in. So just out of curiosity, where on planet Earth are you right now?
I am just outside of Orlando, Florida.
Ooh, okay. All right.
Disney World.
Any alligators today?
Actually, no, but a bear. We had a bear. A black bear just outside. Comes by once every few weeks and goes through everybody's trash. He's a great guy.
There's bears in Florida?
There's bears all over Florida, but where we live, it's a suburb, but there's bears. There's bears. We have a raccoon that lives on my roof, and I have two possums that live in the backyard.
I believe that, but like, it feels like everything in Florida wants to kill you, and now there's bears.
No. My bear doesn't want to kill anybody. They just want, or he just wants, he's a big, 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 big boy. So, he's definitely a big boy. He comes up, I'm almost 5'11", just under 5'11". And he comes up to, like, when he's standing on all fours, he comes up to my shoulder. I've been close enough to him to touch him, but I haven't actually touched him yet. So,
you know, that's not good for your health, right?
Well, I don't have a problem with most animals usually.
Okay.
I think it comes from
a problem with you.
No. I it comes from my indigenous blood, I think. I think I'm just part of nature. I just happens.
Amazing. Amazing. What indigenous group are you from?
I'm a Mescalero Apache primarily. My father's side, and I have a smattering of different bloodlines on my mother's side, but it's not any one. Like, you can't really find a nation that it represents there. The only word that ever comes up is Blackfoot, but Blackfoot is an amalgamation of a lot of different tribes, so a lot of different nations. I don't really have a name for that over there, but Mescalero Apache. It's on my dad's side, but it was from his mother. My great great grandfather was the shaman of the Mescalero Apache tribe, and he had 76 wives. So I'm not exactly, you know, hard to find. Like, my bloodline isn't hard to find on that side.
76 wives?
He did. That's a lot.
I don't have 76 anything. Like, I can't.
I have like 76 Star Wars things, maybe, but that's about it.
I mean, those are things you can collect, right? Like, those are people with drama, right? I can't imagine what the monthly cycle was for that.
We've all got hobbies. I can't really knock him for his.
My gosh. Okay. Well, that was a fun segue. Tell me your origin story, other than your little smattering of this and that. Tell me, where did you come from, and how did you end up giving amazing insights and wisdom on TikTok?
That may be actually too long for here, but I'm going to give you what I can. The origin of the TikTok is really kind of dark. And so maybe, especially for the podcast, I will give a trigger warning for folks, because it does include a story of me going into possible self-harm. So I just want to make sure that's clear. About 5.5 months ago, I had reached the bottom of a depression, and the depression was a depression that had lasted for about 15 years. It was diagnosed. I was supposed to be taking drugs for it, but I couldn't do that. They didn't sit right with me. And I'm not really one that really, can do that, very well. It just affects me too much, and I can't think well. So for 15 years I was, horribly depressed. And then I'm just going to kind of keep going back for a little bit. Before that, I was a professional card player, you could say. I played poker, I played Magic the Gathering, I played Pokemon, I played anything that had a prize purse where I could win money. And so basically I just played games. I played online games as well. For about 10 years, that's what I did. And I was pretty good at it, and I made a decent amount of money doing that. And I also opened up my own business. I opened up a game store, because that's what I was into. So I opened up a game store. It lasted for 9 years, then we had to shut down. And that was during my depression, and one of the reasons why my depression really spiked. And then before that, as people that maybe follow me on TikTok have heard. I was a guardian angel for some period of time. If you're not sure what a guardian angel is, it was a basically a community group that would patrol bad areas and cities. And the group itself is kind of not great, but what we were doing was great. And so I was proud of that, and I did a lot of work there that really helped a lot of, especially young women, out of really bad situations. And that kind of was has become emblematic of who I am today. As I go forward again into my where I got to TikTok, about 5.5 months ago, it was in October of 2023, I hit the bottom of that. And in a moment where I was ready, I was ready to shuffle off this mortal coil, as they say, I was on my bed sweating bullets, crying. I don't know if I fell asleep. I don't know what happened, but in that moment I saw, whether it was a dream or a vision or just some sort of mental epiphany, I'm not sure, but I saw myself helping people and bringing some love and some positivity into this world, and it moved me deeply. And at that moment I decided that I was going to do that. Nothing was going to stop me. And I'm not sure of the date now, it may have been the 17th of October, and by the 28th I had ordered everything for my podcast. I had come up with the name, I'd come up with all the website, I'd come up with, and I started my TikTok channel on the 28th of October. And if you watch the first video, it's really rough, and I had no idea what I was doing because that was literally the first thing I'd ever done on social media.
It's because we all suck when we start stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
We just suck at the beginning.
And I've actually left every video I've done, I have left up specifically for that lesson, for myself and for anybody else that comes along. They can go back. And what's crazy is, and this is something that I've actually started keeping track of because I didn't realize this, in the five and a half months now that I've been doing this, I've made over 580 videos.
Holy crap!
Yeah,
that's a lot of videos.
It is. It's a lot, and I didn't realize it. And what's crazy about it is that all of my videos are 6 to 10 minutes long. I really very rarely get underneath that. So I'm prolific in that category. I've collected videos like my great grandfather collected wives. So,
oh, that's a really nice analogy with a whole lot less drama. I would like to point out, but damn. So over 500 videos, at least 6 minutes, that's 3,000 minutes of you growing and sharing and helping people.
I hope so. I hope that's what that is, because otherwise it's a lot of minutes wasted.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say probably not wasted.
No, it's not. I know the effect I've been having, and I'm very, very happy with it. I'm very proud of it. And I'm not going to, normally I would be a lot more self-deprecating, but there's no place for that here. So
I'm not a fan. So we can just skip that part. Okay. So now I have a bajillion questions. So first of all, you're going to give me the link to the website. Obviously I'm going to put that in the show notes, but is your channel with your videos in the website, or is it on YouTube, or is it on TikTok?
It's only on TikTok right now. What I'm doing is I'm doing everything on TikTok, and then basically in batches I'm moving stuff over to Instagram and to YouTube and stuff like that. I'm just kind of moving it over there slowly. I really should be doing it faster, but I'm doing it all by myself, so it's a lot of work, especially when I put out that many videos. Because I use the TikTok editor and everything, I have to go in and pull the watermark off and all that stuff to be able to post other places. It's a lot more work than I thought. I really should be smarter about it, but I'm a creature of habit. So
the more you get to know me, the more you're going to learn that I have several rules that I operate by. And one of them is I never use the word should. I find it to be a terrible word because it has implied expectations that you've already failed to meet. So you shouldn't be doing should.
But wait, didn't you just say shouldn't?
I know. I'm a complex creature. So I love that. And that's fantastic. And you are going to take as long as it takes. And it's fine. But that's a lot of work that you've put in just 5 months. That's like 100 videos in 1 month.
Yeah.
I can barely get 10 videos in 1 month done.
Yeah, I, that's what a lot of people have said to me. And it wasn't something that I was doing consciously. It wasn't a goal. I didn't realize it when I was doing it. It wasn't until I hit about 350 that I was like, wait, this is taking up a lot more room on my computer than I thought it would. Like, I'm going to have to go get a hard drive. And I was like, wait, this is a lot. How is this possible? And then I was like, oh my God. So now I kind of keep track of it. Now it's not that I'm trying to get, you know, I'm not trying to push any limits or anything. I have stuff to say. And I mean, I guess to a certain degree, you know, if you have a moment, I should say that. I should say that this is not me. I don't go into any recording moment with a lot of notes and a lot of forethought. I go in and I just say what's on my mind and what's in my heart. And so that's one of the things that I think has kind of separated me is I'm as authentic as I can possibly be. I'm showing everybody the warts and the boils on me. You know, there's no hiding anything. I do that because we live in a world where everybody has built these constructs around themselves to protect them and to, you know, make themselves feel better. And what I've realized is that my power comes from being completely and totally honest and authentic all the time. That's my shield. That's my sword. That's the thing that makes me who I am. So what people see on my TikTok channel, what people hear in the podcast, that's as real as it can be for me. I don't edit things. If I make a mistake, they see them. That's just how I am.
I think that's beautiful. And I completely agree with you. Let me put it this way. I don't have the brain power to be anything except the person that I am, because it just requires too much effort. It's just hard. And I don't have the energy and the brain power to make that, you know, like create a fake persona. I will like beat my mug and look nice on camera. That's fine. But like pretending to be something else, no, I don't have it in me. So
there was a point in time where, and this is something that I've talked about quite a bit, is there have been points in my life, especially when I was playing games and things like that, where, you know, a lot of, and we'll get to this, I'm sure, but a lot of my information, a lot of the knowledge base that I have is an adversarial understanding of mindsets. You know, I would sit across from a table and I would want to beat somebody. So I would have to know how they would think. And so that's where a lot of my training comes into play. But the overall, I don't even know how to say it. I go ahead. Let's keep going, because otherwise I'm just going to go on longer and longer and longer.
No, it's fine. I wanted to touch on a couple things that you had mentioned, because I found them to be really beautiful and also reminded me that I'm not alone. Like, I do this for a living and I still get stuck in my amygdala thinking that I'm all alone and that no one could possibly relate, because, you know, amygdalas. But you had mentioned that you had gone through a depression that was 15 years long and that 5 months ago you finally hit the end. And you were in that dark night of the soul, and that you had a moment and you weren't sure what it was. And then all of a sudden you just saw yourself helping people and you made the decision and that was the end of it. And now 5 months later, look at you. First of all, holy hell, thank you for being so honest and so vulnerable. Secondly, literally the same thing happened to me. Halloween night, 2013, I was at rock bottom. I was obese. I was in a toxic marriage. I was clinically depressed, clinically obese. I was fully disconnected from my 8-year-old and my 2-year-old sons. I did not want to wake up in the morning, like permanently. Like I was over it. I was done. I was like, I don't see hope. I don't see a future. Tomorrow makes no sense. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to feel things anymore. And obviously some of that was like chemical and hormonal and, you know, like lacking sleep and water and food and all the other good things you're supposed
to do. Right, right.
Yeah. The plants with emotions. But I had that dark night of the soul and I had that moment and I was outside staring at the moon, praying to God, begging for help. And I had that experience myself. And it was the most powerful connection moment I've ever had with my creator, except for my near-death experience. So I totally, totally understand what you're saying. And that moment is life-changing and also not, because it's a decision moment But then you got to do stuff the next day and take action on it and not just like pat yourself on the back and move on. Like it's the start of things, but it's not the start period. And I love that you recognize that immediately, that that was the day you decided, the day you chose, like the choose your own adventure books. It was the day Absolutely. You chose. And then everything after that, you took massive action and you were like, no, now I'm going to buy the equipment and I'm going to do the thing. And I'm going to make the site. And you took the action, and now you're saying you look back and you've got over 500 videos.
Yeah, what I've termed it when people have asked me about it, and I've gotten kind of deep into it, was, you know, people talk all the time, especially creators, whatever type, talk all the time about inspiration. Excuse me. And for me, this was the moment that I understood, first of all, exactly what that word meant, which is important considering the topic of the podcast here. Of the episode, I should say, you know, inspiration was a key moment there, that word inspiration, because at that moment, what I felt was what I've termed as true inspiration, where it wasn't so much like, as you termed it, it was a choice, but it really wasn't. I didn't feel like I had a choice. And I, even now, when I sit in my car and I make videos, I don't really feel like I have much of a choice in it. I feel like this is something that I have to do. I wouldn't say as a non-religious man, I wouldn't say that I have been called to do it, but some have said that. And so I have to respect that outlook on it. I do believe that there is something more to this than I understand. And I just have to kind of roll with it until I start to understand it. And that's what I've been trying to do. You know, in my time on camera, I'm trying to just deliver a message that comes from somewhere inside of me. And off camera, I've been constantly studying. That's all I do now, really. You know, every now and then I'll play a game on my computer, but for the most part, every minute of the day is spent meditating, studying, and trying to figure out where all this is coming from, because I genuinely have no idea.
That's amazing. So you had this moment, you took massive action, 5 months later, you're seeing a result, and you've started diving into self-exploration and studying when you're off the clock, so to speak, or off the screen, and you feel compelled and driven forward by almost an unknown force to do this.
Yeah,
same. Okay, number two. I would love to know if you remember, some people have blocked out their childhoods, but if you remember, what are some of the words and phrases that you remember growing up with that either helped you immensely and you still use them today, or they just no longer serve and you really sort of like deconstructed those mistaken beliefs? Are there any words or phrases that ring true for you, that resonate?
You know, I actually have thought about this quite a bit, and the reality of it, for me at least, is that singular words never held much weight for me. My mom was the kind of the real force in my life. My dad was not. He was there for a good portion of my life, and actually for a while he was my sole caregiver, but he was not somebody that was a real strong influence on me. My mom was really the source of all of that. And so for me, my childhood was not really, I can't really say that there were words or phrases that really pop in. There was music and poetry. That's how it was delivered. That was the mechanism where it came into me. And so it is, I have songs and I have lyrics and I have quotes and I have, you know, probably I'm not going to do the whole thing, but probably the single most powerful collection of words in my life up to this point is, is the poem, I don't know what it's actually called, but somebody said that it couldn't be done, but he with a chuckle replied that maybe it couldn't, but he would be one who wouldn't say so till he tried. And it keeps going on and on, and that's kind of my entire life. That is everything to me. That I've always been somebody, when somebody says I can't do it, I'm the person that says, I'm pretty sure we can. I'm pretty sure nothing's going to stop us if we really try. And that's kind of where I always was. And that's why disappearing into a 15-year depression was devastating to me, because that ceased that progress, that ceased where the direction I was going in, and it created an entirely new version of me, one that I'm now having to come to terms with and trying to, you know, rectify all of the damage that I did in that time. So it's kind of a dark period for me still, but it's because I'm able to hearken back to those days and to those ideas of my childhood and those the concepts that really built me into who I am, especially that poem, it really does make me feel like now I can push forward. Now I really do. I can get through it because I don't know if anybody else has a story like mine, and I'm pretty sure they don't. So if I'm the only one that's ever lived this, then I better be doing it right. I better be figuring it out. So that's just where I come from.
That's amazing. I need to hear it again. Say it one more time, because it just hit my body so hard when you said it. Say it again.
I don't know what I have to say again.
The poem.
Oh, somebody said that it couldn't be done, but he with a chuckle replied that maybe it couldn't, but he would be one who wouldn't say so till he tried. And I could do more, but I won't do the rest of it.
Okay, so I have to, I'm going to be like a reviewer now. So that poem is amazing because it has such a great cadence, and I want to say it's in a limerick style, and that has such a lovely lilt to it, but the power, it feels, this is not an insult by any means, it feels very Dr. Seuss. I feel Dr. Seuss is very, very powerful in its simplicity. And I just adore that poem. And now I need to Google it so that I can have it like on a post-it note on my desktop.
It gets better after that too.
I'm sure it does. So
yeah. It's really simple, but it's just, when I was a kid, my mom used to read it to me. She has a whole book of poems. She still has that same book too. And it was she had turned to that page so much that the book cracks and the pages are starting to come out. So it's pretty amazing and pretty special. And when you're a child and you have somebody telling you or kind of preaching a poem to you that is all about not listening to the negativity and the naysaying of others, it does put you in a mind state where you're like, you don't care what anybody said. I genuinely, for my entire life, I've been somebody, and it's almost trite now, especially with social media, for people to say, oh, I don't care what people think about me. But for me, that's just been the way of my life. I genuinely don't care what anybody thinks about me. I could give a shit.
Very nice. I love that. And that is my life goals. I try to be that way. I am not always. But that's tremendous. I wasn't raised in that mindset at all. I was raised very much caring about appearances. But that's what happens when you have like parents who are, you know, survivors of trauma. So I totally love that was the trajectory that you were given. And it sounds like it was a really positive belief system that you were given as a foundation.
I mean, yeah, I would say so. I would definitely say so. I mean, you know, my mom had her issues, of course, but you know, her and my dad didn't get along. So there was a lot there as far as like relationship stuff, which, you know, at some point I'll probably end up talking to you about.
That's fine. I have time.
But overall, my mom has been like the saving grace of my life, as a parent should. You know, that's the way that it should be. But you know, you find that story so often that that's not the case.
Remember what I said?
I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, I think, but you can give me an allowance. You can give me an allowance on this one.
Of course.
I was talking about me. No. I was talking about other people.
You would
and how, right? You know, a societal expectation. That's what I was talking about.
Is it
okay that way? Is a societal expectation?
It's fine. I'll give you a pass.
So I wasn't talking about myself. I wasn't talking about myself.
Is there anything that your mom or dad or anyone that you grew up with, like a catchphrase or a statement that sort of stayed ingrained in you that helped you that you still use today?
All of them.
All of them. Okay.
I can't right now. I'll be honest. I don't, you know, off the top of my head, that is a very difficult question. And I know that I kind of, I kind of should have come more prepared for that, but the reality is that
it's meant to be really hard. It's meant to be a head scratcher.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where I definitely have some that I could probably conjure, but I, as of right now, the only thing in my head is that poem.
That poem.
I'll be honest, it just keeps going over and over again.
Yeah, I get it. My the only one that I can come up with off the top of my head now, even though my mom's voice is always the voice in my head, it's my dad's voice, and he would always say, "It could always be worse," and I've lived by that like idiom for decades now. Like, yes, it really could. Like, COVID happened. It could be worse.
It could be worse.
It's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's funny though, because what's actually striking about that is that now that you said that, I'm kind of thinking back on it, and I realized that, you know, no, the answer is actually no. My mom had, like I said, her way of communicating things to me was through song, through music, through lyrics, through poetry. So that's where that's where a lot of her stuff came from. I have more useless lyric information in my head than most people have, you know, knowledge of things they learned in school. I am a library of song lyrics, but what I realized when you said that was, for me, I'm the one that does that. I'm the one that has created that. That's something that has started with me, and not really my parents as much. And definitely not my sister. Yeah, there's not a whole lot that I was not in terms of that I was raised on. But for me, as funny as it may be to say this on this particular episode and in this series, words have a lot of power. Words are not just how we communicate ideas, they are how we build our thoughts, how we create the worlds that we live in. And this speaks more, and I'm sorry if I riff here a little bit, but this speaks to the nature of the world and the realities that we all have. So many people, they spend so much time building a reality out of the words and the concepts that they have, that have been ingrained in them. And very rarely do people venture outside of those things and start to really understand that they can, through their own ways of communicating with themselves and with others, that can they build new realities. It really is magical, and it really is astounding how positive thinking, positive phrasing, positive reinforcement can really alter and change the literal fabric of reality for so many people. It's astounding that more people don't understand that, and they're so caught up in their own little box. And even more so to that point is the number of people that spend so much of their life lying.
You went there. Okay, keep going. I love it.
If the more people know about me, the more people, you know, if they go watch my channel or they listen to the podcast, the one thing that they're going to realize very quickly is that a lot of where I come from now comes from the betrayal, the deception, and just in general, the disdain and the hatred that comes from people lying to me. I am not somebody that can handle it very well. It creates such a negative drive in me that the only thing I can do, and I think that's one of the reasons I am where I am today, is try to counterbalance it with my own positivity. If you're going to lie to me, if you're going to make me hate, then I'm going to take that energy and I'm going to redirect it and turn it into love. That's the only way I know how to be. I can't stand looking at somebody knowing that they've ruined their life by creating things that aren't, you know, they're real for them, but, you know, they build these ideas. They surround themselves with sycophantic people. They surround themselves with people that, you know, so many people that I've heard them say, well, my friends don't talk to me this way. Well, your friends need to talk to you this way. You need to know the truth of who you are and what you're doing and how you're hurting people.
That's that right there. We are the sum average of who you are, who you hang with. That's a beautiful phrase I use all the time.
Absolutely. You
know, one of my sheroes, Lisa Nichols, who brought herself up from absolutely nothing in her journey, she uses the phrase, you are the average of the five people you hang out with. And if you are hanging out with people who are afraid to say no to you, who are afraid to challenge your thinking, who are not encouraging you and challenging you to elevate yourself, find better friends.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the thing about it is, you know, you surround yourself with so many people, and you can have a million people around you, but if none of them are willing to tell you the truth about who you are, you will never find yourself, because you're all, you know, as a creature, as an animal, humans we're programmed to be societal creatures. Now, I mean, just being completely transparent here, I don't really even have five friends. I don't have five people around me at any given time. I have three children. I have my girlfriend, and that's, I mean, I have two very, very good friends. That's literally the entire circle of my life, but that's because so many people have left my life. And a lot of that is through that betrayal and the pain that I go through that folks will see in my TikToks and in the podcast, the pain that I kind of work through and that I have been working through for 5.5 months is based in that. And understanding that, you know, that's where a lot of it comes from, but I'm turning it into something else entirely. I can't carry this burden for them. I refuse to. I could. I'm strong enough. I can take the pain, but it does me no good to suffer in silence. And that's genuinely how I feel about it. Actually, you know what? Give me one moment here while I look this up and ask me a question while I look this up.
So
I have something I want to share with you.
One of the things that you just mentioned is a very true fact I find for a lot of people that are on a journey towards self-discovery is that their social circle shrinks to almost nothing.
Absolutely.
And either it's because they have purged their friends list and they just kind of want to start over and wipe the slate clean because it's really just a bunch of friends from high school who have nothing in common with them. Or the reverse, a bunch of people that know them or knew them no longer jive with the energy that they're putting out. And right. They're like, okay, peace out. And they nope right out of it. And suddenly these folks who are unfolding and blossoming are doing it in an empty field.
Absolutely.
And Absolutely. It can get so scary and so isolating. And then you start questioning potentially like, wait, I'm doing the right thing. I'm tending to myself. I'm being aware. I'm doing what's right for self and for elevation. And I'm alone.
Right.
What the hell, right. man. And right. then you end up realizing, no, this is good. It's good. Like, they don't want to watch how the sausage is made. And, you know, they'd rather, that's like one of those phrases that drives me crazy. Because all of this deep, dark work that you and I are doing is dirty and painful right. and exhausting and humiliating and demoralizing because we're realizing all of these things that we let society force us into in one way or another, and we're shedding all of that skin, and that's a hard process, and people don't want to see that process. They just want to see happy, shiny.
And that's the thing about what I've been doing on TikTok is that I am showing them that process, and no, they don't want to see it. I can vouch for that. But at the end of the day, that's what I have to offer, right? Like, all I have to
amazing.
Offer is
amazing. It's tremendous.
Is just, yeah, I that's all I have is just, this is who I am and this is what I'm going through. And this is as true as it can be. And what I was looking for, actually, this is, you were asking about, words and phrases.
Yeah.
Let me clarify, an omission. When I was 16 years old, my mom and my dad had been divorced for about 2.5 years at that point in time. And I was living with my dad, and my mom had gotten the opportunity through work to go to Boston, and I'd never been to Boston at that point. And one of the big points in my life, an inflection point in my life, was that trip that I took with her, because we had been apart. And on that trip, we decided to go to Walden Pond. Yeah, where Henry David Thoreau wrote Walden. And this was something that we had done because I had started to kind of read about a little in school. But in school, they give you a really crappy version of Walden. You don't get to read the whole thing. And so we went and we made a day of it, and we walked around Walden Pond, and we went to where his cabin was, and we, you know, it for me, that was the closest thing to a spiritual and religious experience that I'd ever had. Thoreau had written, as a transcendentalist, had written words that were defining in my life. They were literally the what I was, like, the belief system that I had started to acquire at that point in time at a very, 16 years old. I was a very formative age. One of the phrases, and what's funny is that I don't know why I didn't remember this when you asked, but one of those phrases was, most men lead lives of quiet desperation and go to the grave with the song still in them. And I mean, that's the short version of it, but
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Okay. So I love you so much. You have no idea. That is one of the ones that got me through my divorce. That is the literal phrase. I don't want to die with my song still inside me.
That is
literally a phrase that helped me survive. It's what I would say to myself when I was in poverty. I had no furniture. I was alone for the first time in my whole life. I had a terrible job. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was scared to be alone. I was scared I had destroyed my children's lives. And I was like, all I want to do is help people. All I want to do is be a life coach. All I want to do is make people's lives better. And I was like, I'm scared. I'm so scared to be big. I'm so scared to take up space. I'm so scared to have thoughts and opinions. And all I could hear was, your song is still inside you. You're not done.
Right. Right. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing right now. That's why I'm on your show. That's why this is happening, is because in that moment where I was at my absolute worst, that's exactly what I thought was, I have lived the past 15 years without a voice. I have allowed others to dictate who I am. And up until that point, I was the leader. I was the strong person. I was the one that people turned to. And I subjugated myself for others, and I let them dim who I was. I let them dim my light. And at this point in time, when I was at my absolute, not to be too upsetting to folks, but I mean, literal, like, belt in hand, looking for something that could hold my weight, kind of, like, that's where I was. And
you were on
it was as close as you can get.
I have been in that moment.
It was in that moment that, you know, that's when I a lot of these powerful words and phrases that you're talking about, a lot of them came to me at that point in time. And I think that may have been part of what, you know, the vision, the epiphany, whatever you want to call it, that was part of that moment. That genuine, as true as it can be. And most men lead lives of quiet desperation and go to the grave with the song still in them. It's funny because the person that kind of was spurring my this point on in my life, I had that as a screenshot, and I sent it to her, and I was like, this is why I'm doing this. I was like, we can make this change. We can be, like, because she was an amazing person, and she was actually trying to be a life coach as well, which is funny. She was this, like, point of light for me. And I thought, if I can kind of be like the carnival barker, if I can bring people in, because I know that I can be charismatic, and I know that I can, you know, I know that I can get people to understand, I can bring them into her and she can change their lives. That was the whole idea that I had in my head. And then she was like, nah, I'm good. And I was like, well, okay, I'll do it without you. I was going to set them up and you were going to knock them down. But if you don't see the beauty of this, then I'll do it without you, because it needs to be done. That's really genuinely what happened.
Exactly. It needs to be done. The end.
Right.
The end. Right. Oh my gosh. Oh, I could go on and on about this. Okay. I'm going to switch gears.
Yes. Let's do that.
Because we both are talkers and I'm noticing that pattern. It's on the same segue, actually. So
that's good.
You've clearly demonstrated that you want and are embracing the breaking of negative belief systems or mistaken belief systems. And you gave me that amazing quote Are there any other words or phrases that you've started using? Maybe you use them in the podcast. Maybe you use them to yourself when no one's listening, that have really, you know, altered your trajectory or jump-started you when you're not feeling it. Is there anything that comes to mind?
Yeah, immediately. Yeah. That's actually a much easier question for me because it's been organic. It's been something that I didn't plan. And so now that I kind of have, I guess you could say, a formula to what I'm doing, now I kind of understand a little bit more of my messaging. Five and a half months in, I'm understanding the message that I'm trying to convey. I didn't when I started. I knew the concept of a pebble in a pond, and I knew that it was a beautiful concept and one that I embraced, but I really didn't understand how I was going to do that, how I was going to be a pebble. I didn't understand it. And so I really was working through it in real time. And as I went through those videos, some concepts just kept, some concepts just kept coming up naturally. And that's why I say it was organic. So now if you watch my videos over the past probably month and a half, you'll see me say a 5-word phrase over and over again. And that is that I want to live my life with love, light, positivity, acceptance, and honesty. Those 5 words are the pillars of everything that I'm doing. Every single aspect of every message that I have is going to touch on at least one, if not all, of those pillars. They're everything that I want to build in myself, everything that I want to work on, and everything that I want to live my life with. And they're everything that I want others to work on and build. If you can approach this world with love in your heart and positivity as your desire, and then spread your be accepting of others and everything about them, and also do this with complete and total honesty with yourself. Do it from the heart and mean it when you do it. Mean it more than anything. Then you will shine your light into this world. And your light will create magic, beautiful, beautiful magic. You can never be rid of the dark, but you certainly can light it up for other people. You can lead them through it. And
okay. So that's going to be a clip. I'm telling you right now, I'm just going to have it. I'm going to have that on loop because I collect this. I collect these phrases. I collect recordings. When I feel like shit, I put stuff on to rev me up because I really do believe it's just turning a dial in my brain. And that is being saved forever, the end. So that was amazing. I love it. I could totally dive in and be like, okay, so tell me more about what you define as love and da-da-da-da. I don't have that much time, but I love that. That was amazing. And I also completely agree with you. I'm compelled to say, like, 99% of people are too chicken shit to be honest. So they'll never do the rest of it. That has been my experience, because the honesty piece requires full transparency of self. What you said before, warts and all. It requires that. It demands that. If you're not willing to go there, then you're not really being honest. And then the rest of it won't come.
Right.
So I find that to be beautiful and fascinating. And you actually answered my next question, which is what words you use when you help people, which is love, light, acceptance, positivity, and honesty. So that's amazing. So thank you for anticipating that question. And I guess just to round it out, like you've given so much insight and you've been so vulnerable and so honest and so clear about what's driving you and what motivates you. If you could, like, I know someone's going to be listening to this in the exact moment that they need to hear this, because that's how that shit always works. And the universe communicates to us through social media and the radio, I fully believe. So if there was something you could say to somebody right now that you just know that it's going to help make the difference for them, what is it that you would say?
I end every video now with the same phrase, and that is take care of yourself and take care of others. To me, and I say it in that order for a reason. If you love yourself and you want to truly affect this world, which most people do, most people don't want to fade into nothingness. Most people want their name and their life to matter, to be of consequence. And if that's something that you want, if that's something that matters to you, then you need to love yourself and you need to be honest with yourself and you need to find your voice. Your voice is the only one of it that has ever existed. You are the only person that can do what you can do. You're the only person that has your collection of experiences, your collection of thoughts, your collection of emotions. You are the only one that can convey the magic and the beauty that is within you. And if you don't do it, then the world will be a lesser place. And that is probably the most important thing that I say to anybody. And that's the thing that when I have said that, people will message me or reach out to me and say, I needed to hear that. And thank you. I have so many people now through TikTok that have reached out to me and told me that, you know, they weren't doing this thing or they weren't doing that thing. And now they're doing it. And, you know, oh, I helped them through this part. And that's lovely. And I really certainly am not diminishing it in any way, but that's just the start. That's just the start. I'm not done. I'm not anywhere close to done. And I'm not going to stop until I feel like there's enough people carrying this message that I can maybe rest. And once I feel like that, then I'll be okay. But until then, I this message is more important to me than anything else. I have to get it out. And that's about it.
Wow. I love that. And actually what you just stated also was stated about 3,500 years ago in a book called the Pirkei Avot, the Ethics of Our Fathers. And it says, excuse me. I want to quote it correctly because I'm a stickler about that. Here it is. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to desist from it.
Nope. Facts.
Right?
Facts.
Like, but that
I had never heard that before. Thank you for
I
that.
Know it's absolutely mind-blowing, and it's amazing because like it gives you permission to not do everything and be everything to everybody all the time till you die, and also gives you the obligation to do the thing
right
in moderation, right? So oh my god, such good stuff. Amazing. I am so grateful to you. Thank you so much for agreeing literally on a whim, not knowing me from Adam, to come on my podcast and be like, yeah, sure, I'll just talk to this random, like, rando lady. Thank you so much.
You are certainly not a rando lady. I've watched enough of your videos to know. I mean, let me say this. I know you're short on time, so let me just say this very quickly. Like I said, I spent years of my life studying people and knowing what it is. I'm not a professional. I don't do this for a job. I do this because this is my passion now. But it comes from a place of extreme knowledge. I have a lot of knowledge when it comes to reading people. And anybody that doubts your intentions or anybody that maybe isn't clear on who you are is, and pardon my French here, is a damn fool. It is very clear where you come from and very clear what your heart is and the opportunity to come speak with you. And I know that we'll have continued communication and, you know, we are friends.
100%. I am now your friend. So now you have six. And that's it.
There it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer to support you and to love you and to be part of this. It's an easy decision.
Ta-da! And I'm going to be super selfish right now and kind of put it out there for the people that don't think this far and don't go this far. So I always invite people, I say this a lot, go further. There is so much more power in having a force or an army of people who love and respect you than having a following of, as you said, sycophants. There is so much more power in having this amazing network of human beings who know who you really are and they can rely on that. And that's what I'm cultivating. Because I, like I said, I don't have the brain power to lie. Like, I'm 42. I have four children. I'm tired all the time. I have to be honest. I don't have the brain cells anymore. So I love that you said that. Thank you so much. And you're welcome back anytime. And all y'all, again, who want the transcript, I'm going to have that in the show notes. And of course, Pebble and Upon podcast link to the website and to the TikTok, of course. Please, please keep following. Share this podcast episode. Like, show him so much love all over. And again, take care of yourself. Take care of others. I'm going to steal RuPaul's, which is, if you can't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love somebody else? And thank you again, everyone, for being here. I am so grateful.